communal activities, your personal life, your marriage, your children. While we were turning the tape over, you told me you had 5 children.
Yes.
I'm not sure I knew when you had time to get the 5 children. But why don't I just let you loose and discuss your activities in the community, what interested you most, what boards you were active on, and your children and your wife.
Well, first let me start with the continuity of the last question with organizational life. I have always been, always felt a responsibility as a citizen to participate in all levels of community activity, even though our agency was a beneficiary of the community chest, United Climb, United Way. I nevertheless felt the responsibility of participating as a layperson and volunteering all those activities. And I worked through all those organizations, including United Way, the business division, which was out of my territory, but nevertheless, I felt that that was a responsibility of mine. United Jewish Federation, I was a leader in the young adult division when I was much younger, and all the years I worked with all kinds of people. David Busis and I used to work regularly on cash collection. He'd call me up and say, "Okay, Len, it's time to do cash collection." Manny Spector, who was, as you know, we have the Emanuel Spector Award. Manny Spector was on Fifth Avenue, and Manny Spector used to call me every year, and we'd go down and work Fifth Avenue for the UJF and all the merchants down there. And so I've always been involved in Federation activities and fundraising. I was early on, I was very interested in the dynamics of intergroup and interreligious relationships. And I was asked to join the American Jewish Committee. I was fairly young, and I was a member of the American Jewish Committee for a lot of years, and I worked my way up as a program chairman. I think as a program chairman, I think I probably had the most heavily attended program ever for the American Jewish Committee. I brought in Harry Golden into the Y on Belfield, and my wife and I had dinner with Harry Golden up at the Tin Angel, I think, where he wanted steak and bourbon, and then we went to the Y. I think we had 1,200 people overflowing, and I introduced Harry Golden. But nevertheless, I worked my way up to the American Jewish Committee as vice chairman for many, many years. And at one point, I was made chairman of the local chapter of the American Jewish Committee. And I am still a life trustee of that organization. So, I think that a lot of professionals, I used to say this advisedly, who are in community service, may feel that that's their obligation because they work professionally. I never felt that way. I don't think you find a lot of, I think reluctantly you don't find a lot of people who work professionally in volunteer activities, but I have always been that way, and that's been always been my bent, and I feel very good about it. About my family, when my wife and I got married, she was an only child, and she felt that maybe she missed something by not having other siblings. So when we got married, we sort of made a pact, not signed anything.
Was your wife a Pittsburgher? I think he's told you.
She was a Pittsburgher early on, and then her family left Pittsburgh when she was just a child to go to Warsaw, Indiana, of all places. That's a story in itself. But she was really raised in her formative years in Indiana. And she really came back to Pittsburgh when she went to Pitt.
And her maiden name was?
Rich, R-E-I-C-H.
Harriet Rich.
Right. And anyway, we sort of talked about the fact that we got married kind of young, that it might be nice to have 6 children. And we had 5 children. And after the 5th one, when I went to school, with my youngest child and saw how young those parents were, I thought I was getting a message that maybe I was getting too old to be having children, so we decided we had 5 healthy kids and we quit. I'm very proud of our children. Our children now range in age from 31 to 41. They are doing very nicely, and we are very proud of our children. And that's one of the, I think, one of the quibbles you get out of life is that if you have kids that don't give you any trouble and they turn out to be kids you're proud of, well, I think that's a bonus in life. But my wife and I are very thankful for that.
Leonard, if you don't mind, we'd like to have their names and their birth dates and what they're doing now, and if they're married, what their married name is.
I'm sorry you asked me about the birth dates. I just wrote them down on a piece of paper in my desk. I don't have this available. I can tell you about how old they are. You want me to go get it? As I indicated, our children range from age 31 to 41. Our eldest 41 is Richard. He is married, lives in Pittsburgh. He happens to be married to the daughter of our best friends. And it's something you tried to arrange, you couldn't do it, which came as a total shock to my wife and I and to our friends, because my daughter-in-law, since I can remember when she was born, always called me Uncle Len, and my wife Aunt Harriet, and my son Richard always called her parents Aunt and Uncle. And to our shock to find out that they were getting married, they rediscovered each other later in life because she was away at school and took a job at Northwestern, and when Judy came back to town, they got married. In any event, she came back to Pittsburgh to get an MBA. She had a master's in counseling and decided that Pitt would be a good place to come to get an MBA. And they rediscovered each other on a Rosh Hashanah dinner, and because our families always had dinners together on the high holidays. And they have two nice children, age 6 and 3.
Their names.
And our granddaughter's name is Linda, and our grandson's name is Ari. Richard works for the OSHA. Occupational Health, Safety, and Health Administration. So he's a federal employee.
In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh. He lives in Plumborough. And Judy works as a counselor in the Allegheny County Community College System. Our next boy is Mark. Mark will be married 2 years. He is 39. He is a lawyer. He works for an organization called the Disciplinary Board of the Supreme Court. The Disciplinary Board, as you may know, acts upon complaints by lawyers to see whether they violated any ethical or legal standards. And if so, if they find there is merit, they recommend a disciplinary action all the way to disbarment. And he's been working here for a number of years. He started out as a lawyer working for the neighborhood legal services, and they came after him in Catania to come to work to Pittsburgh, and that's what he does. Mark, while he was a bachelor, decided that he was going to live in Wilkinsburg. He bought a condo there, an old building, and being a citizen of Wilkinsburg, thought it would be a good citizen, would participate in the political life of the community. He ran for city council and was elected to city council. And after he was elected, found out that everything hit the fan, including the gentleman who was a drug addict on city council and other unsavory characters. And Mark went through those tumultuous years, worked as a chairman of the personnel committee to get the city manager to retire, got rid of the finance director, brought in a professional city manager, hired a finance director, and last January, when he got reelected to city council, the city council elected him as the president of city council, where he is now serving. And I think that I run into Justin Johnson once in a while, who's an old Wilkinsburg guy. Telling me about how proud he is of the job that Mark's doing out there. So he married a Susan Colker. The Colker family, I think, is a good name in this town.
Did you mention who your first son's best friend was?
No, I did not.
Your best friend?
Yeah, Dr. Harry and Jean Vinokonsky. Our third son is Stephen. Stephen currently works for a company called, yes?
With a PHRV. Stephen.
S-T-E-V-E-N. Steve is a regional sales manager for General Nutrition Corp Company. He lives in Enfield, Connecticut, and he is responsible for, I'm not sure the exact number, 18, 19 stores in Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and some part of New York. And he is married to, his wife's name is Terry. She's not a Pittsburgher. And they have a little boy who is also 3.5 years old. His name is Aaron, named after my wife's father. And that family is, we miss them since they moved away from Pittsburgh. Aaron calls me and wants to know why he can't come to my house for dinner, not realizing that it's 400 miles away. Then we have the first three children were boys. Now we have the two girls. We have Barbara. We just came back from San Francisco about 10 days ago where we visited Barbara. Barbara is 33. I forgot to mention Stephen is 36. She is single. And she is a wine salesperson. She works for a distributor of called Redwood Vintner, where she has a number of the Napa Valley wines, including Mondavi, and she goes to a lot of the restaurants and retail stores and sells wine. And she just moved from San Francisco to Mill Valley, which is in Marin County. And my youngest one is Nancy. She is 31, and Nancy graduated from Athens, Ohio, Ohio University, as did my other daughter. And she specialized in child development, and she is working at the Jewish Community Center for I can't remember how many years as a preschool teacher. And from the mothers and the children that I've come across, they all apparently love her, and she apparently loves working with little children.
Does Nancy live at home with you? Or?
And she lives at home with us.
Very interesting. You'd be very proud of that family.
Yes, I am.
I want to talk a bit about your early marriage, raising the children. By the way, before I forget, are you practicing Orthodox, Conservative, or Reformed?
Oh, I didn't mention that, but early on in our married life, but we decided that we needed a religious affiliation, so we joined Rotary Sholem Temple. We were more than casual attenders and participants, and I was on the Brotherhood. I was a member of the Brotherhood, and my wife was a member of the Sisterhood, and we got elected to the boards, and I became an officer of Brotherhood, and my wife became an officer in Sisterhood, and eventually became the president of the Sisterhood, and then I was elected to the senior board, and we were one of the number of couples that the husband and wife were both on the senior board. My being a member of the board, and my wife being the president of the Sisterhood, sitting on the board, so we used to go to board meetings together. My term on the senior board expired. And my wife, on her own merits, is now a member of the Rotary Sholem Senior Board. And even though I'm off the board, I'm interested. I just got involved. I was asked to play a leading role in the search committee for a new executive director. I made that, helped make that decision, and I'm involved. I got me involved in a personnel committee, and I'm now involved in trying to better manage the personnel resources of the temple.
Very good.
I think one of the things that, again, is a very great source of gratification to me, besides my career and my family, has been my wife, which is, we are now in our 43rd year of marriage, and we take a lot of trips together, and one of the things that we find out is that we still like each other, which I think is maybe a great tribute to both of us. But we have, I think she has accomplished a great deal in her own right, and I think she's recognized for what she has, what she's able to contribute. And I think we just, I think we make a good, good companions for each other. And she's an integral part of my life, so.
That's nice to hear. Tell us a little about these Sanitarium's activities.
Well, one of the things that has kept her going, besides the temple, which she's very involved with, is she was a sorority member of Alpha Epsilon Phi at the University of Pittsburgh. And all these years, she's maintained an interest in that sorority. She was very much interested in what they call the foundation. The foundation is a arm of the sorority that raises money and provides scholarship funds for students. And she became, from the board of the foundation, she became the president of the foundation. I think she was a president of the foundation for many years. I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I can't remember the exact number. But she went to meetings all over the country, and since she left that post because she exceeded the tenure for that job, she is now on the sorority board, and her responsibility now is working with alumni chapters, and she deals with all these young women all over the United States and chapters, and she's still excited about working with younger people.
Does that involve travel?
It does, and she... We were in San Francisco because there was a meeting of the board in San Francisco, which gave us an opportunity to visit our daughter. But she, while we were in, a couple of months ago, we were in I was in Charleston for a meeting. She flew to another city, I think Dallas, for a meeting, and she already told me what her calendar events are for this coming year, so I can coordinate my activities with hers. And so, yeah, she's very much involved in sorority life, and she's a member, of course, of all the women's organizations. Pittsburgh.
Do you think Pittsburgh's Jewish life has changed since you first started your career? And if so, for the better or the worse?
Well, I think that Pittsburgh is not unlike other metropolitan areas. It's a very highly organized community and has a plethora of Jewish organizations. And I think that each one is struggling for his own identity and conflicting fundraising, but I think that I've always had a saying that no matter how many organizations there appears to be room for one more. And no matter how many fundraising appeals there are, there's always room for one more. So that I never denigrate the fact that people are willing to give their time and their money for a cause that they believe is worthwhile. And I have a philosophy. Anybody who writes me personally and asks me for support, I always give it, because I always feel that if somebody takes their time and effort to contact me, they must feel enough about it that I should give that support. How much support I give it depends upon what the activity is. If it's a home for wayward cats, I'm not that interested in cats, I will give a minimum contribution. One for a worthwhile charity, then of course I will upgrade my contribution. But I think it's wonderful, and I think that's one of the things that distinguishes America, I found, from other countries, is what I call volunteerism. Is the fact is that we don't depend upon the states and the federal government to give all the support, but we have interested people who are willing to give their time to serve on boards and go out and try to raise the money to support the activities of their choice.
That's well put. We've heard a lot of how Pittsburgh has lost some of the big corporations like Gulf Oil and U.S. Steel's downsized, J&L and so forth. How would you contrast today's Pittsburgh with yesterday's Pittsburgh, socially, culturally, politically, environmentally?
Well, that's a big topic to tackle in a brief space of time. I think that... Pittsburgh has done well to accommodate the changes, and not as accelerated. I don't think that the pace is accelerated as I would have liked to have seen it, but nevertheless, I think the fact that we have attempted, obviously, to
to compensate for the shrinking infrastructure, the corporations, and everything else. I wish that we had had a more united political leadership, much more dynamic. I think that we were very slow to respond to a lot of the changing times, and I don't think we had enough foresight. And I think that one of the things that is a sacred cow in this area is this thing called metropolitanism. I think it's fairly stupid that we would have 130 municipalities in what we call Allegheny County, and that I think our mayor is attempting to try to alleviate the burden by putting a $40 wage tax on people who come and earn their living in the city of Pittsburgh, tear up our streets and make their living here, go back to the suburbs and pay a $10 occupation tax, and leave it for those of us who are who have decided to dedicate our lives to the city of Pittsburgh, live in the city and contribute to the city. You have to pay the burden for that. I think that Pittsburgh is unique in the fact that we do have a substantial white middle class Jewish population living in the city of Pittsburgh, which means that as long as that happens, we'll have a safer city, I think a more economically secure city, and we don't have the kind of white flight. Sure, we have some to the suburbs, but not to the degree that other cities, Detroit and Philadelphia and others have had. So I think that as long as that happens, I think we'll have a safer community, and I think our school system will be better and so forth and so on. So to that degree, I think there's a great deal of merit to what's been happening in the city of Pittsburgh.
Thank you. If you had your...
Brothers?
No, if you had your career to do over, your life to live over, would you do anything radically differently?
Well,
I have
gotten a great deal of gratification out of my career. And I think that in retrospect, if I could change certain kinds of things, I think they would only be variations on the theme. I didn't listen to my father. I did not go into business. My father was, I didn't mention that earlier, my father was very upset when he found out what I was doing for a living. Jewish boys are expected to go into business with their fathers. I spurned my father because I didn't feel like, I told you my father was in a cleaning business at that time. I didn't feel that cleaning people's clothes was going to be socially satisfying for me. I just didn't get any satisfaction out of that. A little vignette, when I told you I started at $2,100 a year, one day my father asked me how much I was making because he was upset I didn't go to work with him. And he said, I don't understand that. He said, first of all, I don't understand, if you understand Yiddish, how you make a living with a broken dimension, how you make a living from people who are broken down. He could never understand that. But then when I told him what I made, and he said, well, I don't understand this. I'm going to offer you twice as much as you're making, and someday it's going to be, you're going to be your partner, and it's going to be your business. And I didn't do that. And so I've never regretted a decision that I made in pursuing my career. I was very fortunate that the opportunities were there for me to advance as far as I did. As it turned out, things worked out well for me. I think I never got rich. Nevertheless, I had a good comfort level for my family, and I think that's all you can, you measure your short time on earth in terms of what your contribution is, and I think that I hopefully have tried to make my contribution to society.
And you have. Gene, do you have any questions for Len? Len, is there anything else you think that you would want to tell us that you think might be of interest?
Well, there's one little episode of my life that I think that might have relevance, since this is done by a Jewish organization. Some years ago, my wife and I were traveling out west, and we were in Nevada, and I happened to see a map somewhere that said Jewish Cemetery. I said, gee, that's Jewish Cemetery. A city that had the yesteryear, the frontier days. And I decided I'd get a map and try to find it. Well, the roads, the roads didn't lead to that cemetery.
The roads led to the Catholic cemetery and to the Protestant cemetery. And when I pointed to where the Jewish cemetery was, I was told, well, he has to go across country. Well, fortunately, I had a rented car. So I went up across country, and I found this Jewish cemetery in Virginia City. And it was broken down, and there were tombstones. I began to read them, and these were people who had died at age 35 and 40 years of age, which was, I guess that was the lifespan in those days. And I made a contact with, I began to search around and found out there was a Judas Magnus Museum in Oakland, California, and there was a project doing with Jewish landmarks and cemeteries. And I became involved with that, and I became the Pittsburgh arm of that particular effort. I began to raise money among my friends and anybody who I could to make substantial contributions to that effort. The effort was to restore that cemetery and other cemeteries in the western part of it, what they call the motherlode countries, that have been abandoned. And there was a young man who was a PhD who was writing a book on the lives of the people in the during the pioneer days, the Jews, and the contributions that they had made to the development of the West. And that book is coming out, and I don't know the name of it, but I'm looking to get a copy of it. But it talks about we had Jewish sheriffs, and we don't think of Jews being lawmen back in those days, but we had Jewish lawmen, and we had people who Jews who pioneered in the development of our country. And incidentally, once in a while, I run across somebody who says to me today, you know that organization you solicited me for? I'm still giving an annual contribution. When my wife and I were out and just returned from San Francisco, we went over to the Judah Magnus Museum, and we made a visitation over in Oakland. And I see that the effort is still going on by Jews to find out, number one, to restore Jewish landmarks and Jewish cemeteries back in those pioneer days, and also to flesh out the history of the contribution that Jews made for the development of the West. So I feel very good about that particular development.
Thank you. It's a fascinating story. I know I speak for Gene as well as myself. And thank you, Leonard, very, very much.
Well, I thank you very much. I think this project is very worthwhile, and I hope that I've made some contribution.
You sure did.